Welcome to Luma Digest. I'm Noura. Okay, so I need to start with this one because it completely changed how I think about robotics. There's a company in New York called Dextol. They make facade components for high-rise buildings, structural steel, big heavy stuff. And this week they announced they've tripled their production speed. Now, you'd think that's about some breakthrough in robotics, right? Better algorithms, faster welding, smarter machines. But that's not what happened. What they did first was standardize their supply chain. They were working with five different hook configurations, five different parts coming from different suppliers. And before they touched the robotic side at all, they got everyone to agree on one standard hook design. Then, and only then, did they deploy the automation. And the founder said something that's been stuck in my head all morning. He said, "Automation is not a strategy. It is a reward for having built something stable enough to automate." Think about that for a second. How many times have we seen companies try to automate chaos? They're still figuring out their process, and they think robots will fix it. But what Dextol proved is that the boring work, the unglamorous work of getting everyone to use the same parts, that's what unlocks the speed. The robotics was just the final step. The takeaway? If your process isn't stable enough to document, it's not ready to automate. Full stop. Worth thinking about for your own setup, right? Okay, completely different corner of the robotics world now. But this one properly surprised me. Agibot just released something called Genie Envisioner 2.0, and this is a featured insight from robotics and automation. It's a world simulator. Think of it like a video game engine, but for training robots. Up until now, if you wanted to teach a robot to do something, you had to do it in the real world. Trial and error, physical testing, expensive, slow, and you're limited by how fast you can physically move the robot around. But with Genie Envisioner, robots can train in synthetic environments. They can iterate, test, optimize, all at scale, no physical overhead. And here's the bit that really matters. It supports minute-long sequences of continuous action, not just isolated tasks, not just picking up a cup and putting it down, actual workflows, multi-step processes. That changes the maths completely, because now you can run thousands of simulations overnight, test edge cases, break things, learn from failure, all without touching a single piece of hardware. This isn't a demo anymore. This is infrastructure. And if you're wondering what this unlocks, just think about how much faster self-driving cars got once they could train in simulation. Same principle. But now it's not just cars. It's every physical task we want robots to learn. The barrier just dropped. Again. Right. Let me shift gears to the software side of things, because there's a pattern emerging across agent frameworks, LLM orchestration, production systems, and it's starting to solidify into something everyone's agreeing on. And this is a featured insight from voices and thought leaders. It's called the advisor pattern. Here's how it works. You use a fast, cheap model for routine decisions, the easy stuff, the repetitive tasks, and you only escalate to the expensive, powerful model at decision points, when it actually matters. So, Claude Haiku handles the grunt work. Claude Opus steps in when things get complex. And the results? Haiku plus Opus beats Haiku alone by more than 2x on benchmark tasks, while cutting costs. Now, this might sound obvious, but here's why it matters. This is the first time the industry has agreed on how to route between models without manual context switching. Before this, you had to decide upfront which model to use, or you had to write custom logic to hand off between them. It was messy. It was manual. And it broke all the time. But the advisor pattern, it's clean, it's predictable, and open source picked it up in days. That tells you something. What this really means is that the cost of running AI agents just became way more manageable. You're not paying Opus prices for every single call, you're paying Haiku prices for most of it, and only upgrading when you need to. Bottom line, cheaper orchestration means more experiments, and more experiments mean faster progress. Ask yourself, what would you build if your API costs dropped by 60%? Okay, I need to talk about this next one because it hit way too close to home. And this is a featured insight from builders and platforms. There's a piece this week about the 90% done paradox, and the core idea is this. The last 10% of any project takes 90% of the time. Now, I know, we've all heard that before. But what this piece does is break down why different people get stuck at different stages. Beginners ship at 90% and call it done. They don't even see the last 10%. They think it works, and they move on. Professionals get lost in best practices. They know the last 10% exists, and they spend months trying to get it perfect. They never ship. Thinkers reject their own code. They see every flaw. They rewrite constantly, and they burn out before anything goes live. But finishers know the brutal maths. They know the last 10% takes 90% of the time, and they decide which 10% actually matters to users. That's the difference. It's not about working harder. It's about knowing what to cut, what to ship now, and what to leave for version 2. And honestly, I think this is where AI tools are going to expose a lot of gaps, because AI can get you to 90% done really fast, but if you don't know how to finish, you're just going to have a folder full of 90% done projects. The takeaway? Finishing is a skill. It's not just about building, it's about deciding what good enough looks like, and then shipping it. Something to think about on the commute home. Right, one more before we wrap. This one's about machine learning in production, and it's a bit technical, but stay with me because the insight is really practical. There's a piece this week that looked at 555,000 fraud transactions, and what they found is that calendar-based retraining schedules, the thing everyone does, they break production systems. Here's why. Most teams retrain their models on a schedule, every week, every month, whatever. The assumption is that models gradually forget, performance slowly drifts, so you retrain regularly to keep them fresh. But what the research shows is that models don't gradually forget. They experience sudden shocks. A new fraud pattern emerges, a payment processor changes their API, a regulatory rule shifts, and overnight, your model's accuracy drops off a cliff, so retraining on a schedule doesn't help, because the shock already happened, and you won't know about it until next week's retrain, by which point you've been running with a broken model for days. What they propose instead is shock detection. Monitor for sudden changes in performance, and only retrain when something actually breaks. It's simpler, it's faster, and it catches the problems that matter. For anyone listening who's running ML in production, this is worth coming back to. Because if you're retraining on a schedule and wondering why things still break, this might be why. So, stepping back from all of that, here's what I keep coming back to. Three separate stories: robotics, agents, production systems, and they all point to the same thing: the shift from building things to running things at scale. Dextal didn't win by building better robots. They won by stabilizing the process first. The advisor pattern didn't win by being smarter. It won by being cheaper and more predictable. And the shock detection approach didn't win by retraining more often. It won by retraining smarter. The common thread? Stability unlocks speed. If there's one thing to take away from today, it's that. The boring work, the unglamorous work of making things stable. That's what lets you move fast later. Worth having a conversation about with your team this week. That's it for now. Thanks for listening. Links in the show notes.